So tonight's topic is only somewhat related to the Parsha, but it's quite fascinating. The Ramban discusses it on the Asarsa Dibros. So before looking into this topic, I was always under the impression that Mesiras Nefesh is a mitzvah, it's obligatory in under three circumstances. The big three, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Aryos, and Shfichus Damim. And there is another exception, and that's Shas Hashmad. And the parameters of that are discussed in Masechta Sanhedrin and the like. But other than that, if you're not chayev limsor nafsho, so then you may not do so, and it's aser. And this, of course, is the view of the Rambam. As is often the case, the Rambam's position is that which is well known. And the truth of the matter is that, as you saw from the Makoros tonight, there are many other Rishonim, in fact, probably most Rishonim, who, at least under certain circumstances, allow for voluntary martyrdom, meaning to say that a person has the option to give up their life. They don't need to, but if they do, it's a mitzvah. So whereas the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah Perkei Halacha Dalet, Kol mi shenemar bo yavor ve'al yaharog v'neherag v'lo avar harei zeh mischayev b'nafsho, what you've done is tantamount to murder. It might be an act of great piety in Mesiras Nefesh, but it would be something like the Chassid Shota, someone who is being tufrum. The Torah says v'chay b'hem. The Ratzon Hashem is that we live, through the observance of mitzvos. V'chay b'hem v'lo shiyamos b'hem. And therefore, someone who is strict and dies when the halacha doesn't say they must offer their life al kiddush Hashem, so they are mischayev b'nafsho. The Kesef Mishnah considers the possibility that perhaps even the Rambam would agree under certain circumstances. He quotes in Imukei Yosef, and others, including the Gra, we'll see later on, assume that the Rambam agreed to this, though this is quite startling. We'll see why the Gra thinks that the Rambam might agree. But there are certain cases where the Rambam would agree that a person could give up their life. If you just take a look at the underlined text on the right column of page 1, the Kasav ben Nimuki Yosef, we'll see the Nimuki Yosef inside a little later, Da'afilu lefi svaras rabbeinu, imhu adam gadol v'chassid yari shamayim, v'roesh ador parts bekach rishai l'kadesh es Hashem, v'limsor atzmo afilu al mitzvah kala kadesh yiru ha'am, v'lamdu liras Hashem u'ava b'chol libam. So what does he mean, and why would he think that the Rambam agrees to this?
No, I'm just saying it seems like this is something short of Shas Hashmad, but it's sort of a decline in observance of Torah mitzvahs, let's say.
So
I think he might say that because the Rambam focuses on Kiddush Hashem, so he assumes that it's all functioning based on, like, that's the underlying.
But still, doesn't the Rambam say that
in a case where a lot of Kiddush Hashem is at stake, so maybe the Rambam would.
But doesn't it still? He says that Mischayev b'nafsho. So I thought this might be based off of, and this is the Lashon of the Nimuke Yosef, I think it's being alluded to here. There's a halacha of makin va'onshin shalom and adin, which means that a beisdin, a navi, leaders that are extraordinary leaders, and the parameters of this is really a shir in its own right, but when they see that there's a great need, they can take extra legal action and even kill someone who's undeserving of death according to the normal halacha in order to return the people and restore law and order and return people to the proper values. And there are different examples of this, examples in the Gemara of how someone was once Michal Shabbos, even in Nisr Derabanan, and Beisdin saw that it was appropriate to execute him. Of course, that's lo min adin. It was a very interesting Ran. The Ran writes, Shoftim v'shotrin titein l'cha b'chol sha'arecha v'shoftu esa'am mishpat tzedek, that the judges are responsible to judge mishpat tzedek, just justice. And of course, that's very strange. What do you mean just justice? Is there such a thing as unjust justice? And the Ran says, yes, there is. That's what he calls mishpat ha'melech. Lahavdil, you have a similar idea in American law. There are generally a lot of protections from the law, but at times of emergency, the executive branch has the right to step in and breach those laws for the sake of restoring law and order, Abraham Lincoln suspended habeas corpus during the Civil War. Lahavdil George Bush did. No, so you have.
I put that up online.
So the same thing, according to the Ran, is true with the Melech. Just as an example, we know that the standard of evidence that the halacha requires to actually punish someone through the court system is extraordinarily high. You need Edom and Hasran and the like. Well, let's say that there's a breakdown in law of order because criminals realize that they could get away with just about anything. So then there is Mishpat She'eino Tzedek. Mishpat Tzedek guarantees that basically nobody innocent will ever be punished. If that will lead to a breakdown of society, so then the king's role, and the Ran stresses this is only something that can be done temporarily, and it's not the role of Beis Din, is to step in. Now, in the absence of a king, then it's the responsibility of the Beis Din to actually have both jobs, Mishpat Tzedek and Mishpat She'eino Tzedek. So, but the original division is actually very similar to that, which it is in the American Constitution, which is between the executive and the judicial branch, that the executive branch, at a time of emergency, could step in. So, he's alluding to a similar thing, that when the door is parutz, the Beis Din Navi can step in and act in extra legal fashion and kill someone. So a person could give their life in the same extra legal fashion. The reason why the Rambam doesn't write that here is because this halacha isn't the proper place for that. The proper place for that is in Hilchos Sanhedrin, and he paskins that in Hilchos Sanhedrin. So therefore, extraordinary times call for extraordinary measures, and therefore that's why I say I think he's alluding to that, because he writes Virosh Ador Parts, right? Parts. That's exactly the same lashon that's used in terms of this rule of extra legal action. So that might be one exception that the Rambam agrees to, but generally speaking, as we said, voluntary martyrdom is inappropriate. Now there are a number of midrashim that seem to indicate otherwise. Two of them you saw over here. One is, both of them are quoted by the Ramban. One is Vayikra Rabba, one is in Mechilta, and they both have the same lashon. The lashon is of Malacha Yotze Lisakel Al Shemalti Espini, Malacha Yotze Lisarev Al Sheshamarti Es Hashabas, Malacha Yotze Lehareg Al Shachalti Matza, Malacha Loke Befargol Al Shasisi Sukkah, Al Shonatalti Lulav, Al Shahinachti Tfilin, Al Shitalti Tchelas, Al Shasisi Ratzon Abba Shashabashamaim. People were getting executed, killed by wicked governments, and they were asked, why are you being killed? And they answer, because of Mila, because of Lulav, because of Matzah, because of Tfilin. All these things, of course, are not among the big three. And the Midrashim, of course, don't cite these as illustrations of people that are violating the halacha. On the contrary, these are great, wonderful people. And therefore, the indication is that there are times when a person could be moser nefesh. So the Ramban quotes this in our parsha, discussing in the Aser Sedibros, Vosechesed la'alafim lo'havai l'shomrei mitzvosai, as a reference to those that are moser nefesh, l'shem shamayim. And the Mechilta invokes this pasuk to refer to these extraordinary people. It sounds like we're even talking about actual people, people that were moser nefesh. And we know that indeed throughout Jewish history, many people have been moser nefesh, and even been moser nefesh for things that, strictly speaking, don't fall under the category of the big three. Now, if you look at the Ramban in our parsha, you might say that this is actually technically obligatory because it's Shas Hashmad. If you just read on the page 2, the left column, Vakasa Vadai al Zeh, Kiban Ischayu Biharig Val Yavor, Bechal Zmanim Li Olam, Aval Hirchiv Ainian Lachal Mitzvos, Lefisha B'Shas Hashmad, Anu Neharagin Al Kulan. Al Kulan. So Shas Hashmad, even Tfilin. But if you take a look at the Ramban's comments in Shabbos on Mem Tes Amad Aleph, and this is also the way they run, and others explain this Ramban, he doesn't mean that al Shas Hashmad, even in a Shas Hashmad, you don't have to give up your life for tefillin or for lulav. One is chayev limsor nafsho b'shas Hashmad on any losase, even arakta de mesana, even a small negative violation, then you must say, I will not give up. I will not violate the Torah, even if it costs me my life. But when it comes to mitzvos aseh, under no circumstances is one obligated. And therefore the Ramban says that you see from this medrash that it is permitted and praiseworthy to voluntarily give up one's life. Now, you shouldn't do it any old time. It's only appropriate, b'shas hashmad, but that indeed, b'shas hashmad, this is legitimate and an incredible schus. And that's what he writes, and he gives, it's based off of this principle that he explains a famous story in the Gemara of Elisha Baal Knafayim. The story, there was a fellow, shouldn't really call him a fellow, named Elisha, and it was during a time of persecution, the government banned the wearing of tefillin, and he wore tefillin, and he even went out wearing tefillin. Ramban wonders why, if he was going to be Moshe Nefesh, did he actually go outside? Why? What's he asking for trouble for? And he deals with that issue. But the Ramban says, how could he be Moshe Nefesh? And in addressing this, the Ramban says that we see from this medrash that indeed at times it is appropriate and praiseworthy to be Moshe Nefesh. The story is that Elisha was spotted by some type of government official wearing tefillin, and he, you know, tries to run away. We'll just look at the Gemara. It's such a moving story. Left column on page 2, where it says, Talmud Bavli, Shabbos, Mem Tesamud Aleph, third line. V'amaykari le bal knafayim. Why is Elisha called bal knafayim? Knafayim are wings. Shepamach as gazra malchus romi harisha gzeral yisrael shekolam iniach tefillin yinakru esmocha. Anyone who wears tefillin, they'll get their brain punched in, meaning to say, keneged makom tefillin, they'll poke in their head. V'hayalisha menicham v'yotzei l'shok. Ra'uhu kazdor echad. Ratz mipanav. V'ratz acharav. There was a chase. A dramatic chase. V'kevan shigia etzlo. But of course, Elisha was not fast enough. Natlan me'rosho v'achzan biado. So right before he was caught, he quickly put his tefillin into his hands. V'amr lo ma'azeh biadacha. So the Roman official said to him, what's in your hands? Amr le kanfe yona. The wings of a dove. Pashat yado es yado v'nimtzu kanfe yona. He opened his hands, and indeed there were the wings of a dove. And the Gemara continues, Klal Yisrael are compared to a dove, and that's why the dove was chosen. In fact, when I was bar mitzvah, my grandfather taught me how to wrap tefillin. So he showed me that the way our family wraps shel yad, shel rosh, is different than I've seen anyone else do it. But we wrap the straps around, and then the part that goes around your head we put on top. So most people put those underneath and then wrap around. Right. So I asked him, why are we doing it this way? I'd never seen it before. So he said, Elisha Baal Knafayim, the tefillin look like a dove. So they're wings, that the wings that are folded over the tefillin. So that's how I wrap my tefillin. So this too is an illustration of this idea that at times a voluntary martyrdom is permissible. There are other examples that the Rishonim bring. Another one you could see on page 3 is the Gemara Pesachim that talks about how Hanani, Mishael, v'Azariah were Moser Nefesh Lavodas Hashem. And if you look at Tosfos on the left column where it says Tosfos Pesachim Nun Gimel on the base, 4 lines in, Refresh Rabbeinu Tam, did Selam Zesh Asa Nevuchad Netzar Lav Avodah Zarah Habe. We know that, of course, Hanani, Mishael, v'Azariah, who were young men in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar, so they were Moser Nefesh not to bow. Everybody else, though, was bowing. Does that mean that everybody else was doing Avodah Zarah and not keeping the rule that Avodah Zarah Yarg Val Yavor? So Tosa says no. That this tselem that Nebuchadnezzar had built, lo Avodah Zarah Have. El Indarta Sha'asa L'Chvod Atzmo. It wasn't formally Avodah Zarah. It was something, some type of image that he did for his own kavod. U'lekach ka'amar ma'ra'u. That's why Hanani, Mishael, v'Azariah derived their inspiration from the frogs as opposed to the straightforward halacha that we all know in the Pasuk. V'chein mashma b'dechziv le'elohecha les anachna palchin. they said to Nebuchadnezzar, to your God we will not bow, ulitzelem de dahava lo nisgod, and to the golden statue we will not bow. Now that implies that the golden statue that they were referring to wasn't actually some type of God. Mashmad Eloha Didei Vitzalna Tre Mileninhu. These are two different things. Vasi Nami Shapir. Okay. So what does that mean? If it wasn't a god, then you're allowed to bow to it. You're allowed to bow to royalty. And the answer is, again, this was an example of a case where they thought it was appropriate, but it wasn't strictly speaking necessary, which is why the rest of Klal Yisrael didn't do this. So how do we paskin? If you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch cites, this is on the next page, v'im yirtze lahachmir latzo leharig rishai im ovid kochavim mechavin lavir aladas. If someone wants to voluntarily offer their life, one may do so if the idolater is mechavin lavir aladas. In other words, it's clearly somebody, a non-Jewish person who's a little crazy, says, fry me an egg on Shabbos or I'll shoot you, and he wants you to fry the egg because he's hungry, so of course one should fry the egg. We're talking here in a case where there's a persecution and a campaign to eradicate our religion. So there, in that case, for example, mitzvah saseh, even b'shas hashmad, one doesn't have to do. But in that case, one may do so. So the Shulchan Aruch accepts this view. The Shach, on the left column, notes that this is a machlokas rishonim. And he says, in the bolded section, v'hayanira de beplugta de rabav says linan l'kula, would think that in a machlokas, so we should be lenient. In other words, whenever there's a case of safek nefashos, so therefore we should say, well, in the case where you should give up your life or not, don't give up your life. However, amnam yishlomar hachad el inyan kiddush Hashem shelo kpida tor al ibud nefashos miyisrael lo yalfinan la mishar stekos. Perhaps this is not like other stekos, because it's a shiloh of kiddush Hashem. Deles behu mishum kiddush Hashem v'nira delafia inyan v'sheroin anu kavanaso morin lo. So therefore, a person can indeed do this. And as I said, the Grub below says even the Rambam might agree under certain circumstances. I'd like to just read you one story. And this story, I don't have much time for it, very powerful. It's on the back page, but I accidentally didn't fully, I messed up in the copying, so I'm going to read to you. It's this story about someone who had a shofar in Auschwitz, and talks about how he managed to sneak it in. Incredible story. And then he writes about how there were many ne'arim who begged him to blow. And he decided, he writes, that I can't say no to them. And he risked his life to blow the shofar for them. And we'll just read the last sentence, the last paragraph. V'ha'emes nitan likasev, ki hachlata hana lo haya matim im halacha. I'm not sure that it was halachically appropriate to do what I did, to blow the shofar for them, to risk my life. Ki adati heitev ki al pi halacha ein lachnis atzmo af l'sveg sveka shel sakana mikoch mitzvah tkia shofar. Achein ikar echlatati ba'oso rega haya machma shebein kach uvein kach lo ha'isi machzik harbe me'achayo sheli. Ki mi hu ze shehaya yocho leida ba'oshvitz kama yamim yesh lo od lachyos. Sharei ra'inu be'einenu shebechol yom v'yom neharagim v'nisrafim. Achenu b'nei Yisrael alafim uvevav. Thank you. O noflim b'sade mitoch avoda kashu mesim ke'amir acharei hakatsir. V'lo haya shum chashivos kol achayo shalanu. Ze haya ikar hasiba l'hachlatasi. Av sheyadati b'emez gam svarzu ein lo shum mekor ba'alacha.
Fascinating and very powerful. Saying that the truth is that from a halachic standpoint, what I did can't be justified. But at the time, it was the right thing to do. And I think that a lot of the halachic literature about martyrdom might fall under this category. Here you say it being stated explicitly. This comes up in the keynotes that we sometimes say on Tisha B'Av and the like. That, and maybe this is what the Rambam would say about the Midrashim, you know, that say, how come you're yotze lehareg because of tefillin or tzitzis or the like? It's the avas Hashem that the Ramban discusses in this week's parsha, the absolute belief that there's nothing more important, there's nothing
more valuable than God and our love for God and the absolute devotion, the Mesiras Nefesh. And this is something that the Gemara there says is rooted in Klal Yisrael, and we got it from Avram Avinu, and it's something that, as the Pasuk says, Ose chesed l'alafim l'alavai l'shomrei mitzvosai.
Rupert, Alicia, why did he take off the tefillin?
At that point?
At that point. The whole thing was...
It's a good question.
Did he learn from the Gemara that he was not Moser Nefesh?
Right. Well, he was, I mean, he wasn't, I guess, because the halachas, you don't have to. In other words, the Ramban says in one answer, it was maybe ala safik, he didn't think he would get caught. So that's the earlier part of the Ramban. It's a good question. Look at the earlier part of the Ramban. Shkayach.